anyway, long story short, I decided to go. And for whatever reason, in the beginning, I was like, okay, at the end, how do I want to feel? Mm-hmm. And that's reminding me, right? Yeah. And it's like, I want to feel like this. I want to feel like I did this thing. I accomplished that. I want to have grown this way. And so I just kind of like had that in me every day. And I literally would say it to myself every single morning. Like, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I'm trying to do. And I've totally taken that into my life.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Deeper Than Dough podcast. Today, we have a special guest, Bentley Wilson, joining. He is a founder of Cartograph and a dear friend. Known him, five, 6 years now?
Yeah, maybe even more, yeah.
Even before, you had one baby at the time, a dog, and now things have escalated. You have your own startup now, and things are growing.
Yeah,
everything
has evolved for sure. It's been a few years for sure.
So is John one of your advisors?
John Richards. He's like, he's that and more, right? So he's an advisor, he's an investor multiple times over in Cartograph. I met him when I was, when I was 21 and came into adulthood like out of a cannon, just wanted to like take over the world. And I was that guy, I was like, had every idea under the sun, and took him to lunch or went to lunch with him and pitched him. Like, my first idea I ever pitched John was identity on the blockchain, which this was like pre hype cycle, but he's like, oh, have you heard of this startup? They're all doing that. And
he's good at the dream crusher.
Oh yeah, he just crushed the dreams. Yeah.
Did he do that for you, or you had already had the business?
I already had the business.
Yeah, yeah. So I love John. He's a great guy, but he's seen all the ups and downs for sure.
So when did you start the business? And tell me what it's called again.
Cartograph.
Okay.
Cartograph. Yes, we started Cartograph just over 4 years ago. We just passed our 4 year mark. We're still an early stage, seed stage, maybe early Series A type company. We're a product management software company, so we sell product management teams, and basically we help forecast delivery timelines. So, okay. Yeah.
So what are some of the types of businesses that are your clients?
Any SaaS company. So any software company, anybody that you generally need to be pretty large. You need to have, maybe more than 20, 25 engineers on the low end. But ideal for us is like 100 plus engineers, situations that you have a ton of projects going on. It's mm-hmm. really hard to understand your timelines. Timelines directly impact customers. Sales teams are committing to timelines. Customer support teams are committing to timelines. And product timelines are usually just totally wrong. And
Not at Dirty Dough.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys, I hear that all the time. Yeah. No,
we've never hit a timeline,
I'm sure you guys
right?
No, it's super hard thing to get right. And so, it's really not that crazy as far as what we do. It's like, there are things that we forecast in business the forecasts are based on much less accurate, much less reliable data. And so we just take engineering data and just say, okay, what have they done in the past? We can assume they'll do something similar in the future. Mm-hmm. And let's use that to forecast all the future stuff and see how it fits into the roadmap and what we can actually get on, what our actual capacity is. And, I'm oversimplifying it, but it's pretty straightforward. It's not really being used in that way, that data. So yeah, we take that and the idea is that, we help especially, companies that are really trying to build software and it's really important, their delivery timelines, that we can help at least coordinate those things. We're not trying to get teams to move faster or anything like that. It's just
better communication.
It's really expectations, right? Setting expectations the right way with every other team, with all your executives, with your customers, and just saying, hey, looking like this, we know we committed to this, but we learned that we actually have these other things going on too. So, at least you can let them know 3-6 months in advance instead of like, hey, next week we were supposed to deliver and it's not going to be ready till next quarter. And
yeah, that's cool.
People lose jobs in those scenarios, So, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of that without having software developers just store openings and permits
I'm sure.
Online ordering and our protein cookie and everything.
At least one thing that we hit deadlines on.
Oh, there's some things. I just don't know.
The cookie, the baking times of the cookies, right? Yeah, no. That's actually like the next thing that people say to me is, I need this
for different,
for other stuff. Yeah.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah. Like construction or, building stuff. Like I have family who are in construction. They're like, oh, having this for construction so I can give it to my clients and they can see what we're on track to do based on our performance in the past. there's for sure forecasts could be applied.
Construction's huge.
Yeah.
We moved in February of last year, and there's supposed to be a park literally right in front of our house, and it was supposed to be done in July of last year. And here we are. And I'm like, you guys have built like 7 homes in this neighborhood since then. Why don't you build the damn park?
Yeah.
No communication though. So it's like, oh, at least I would know, you know, if they're like, oh, sorry, you know. Anyways, you should bust in there. So deeper than dough, it's more than money.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. So why did you choose your business, and how does that tie into kind of life purpose or life mission?
Yeah. I love the concept and everything. My story is, it goes like super far back, and Mike knows a good amount.
Is this at BYU? Is that why?
We met at John's Fire of Ignition.
Yeah.
Like way back when.
Yeah. We both were at BYU at the time. Yeah. And I was like, had 1 foot on campus, but my other foot was trying to leave really as much as possible. But no, yeah, my story, I came from super, I mean, you know, be careful saying that, but I come from pretty humble beginnings, especially, you know, I'm a Utah kid, born and raised, all that. And just very, very, you know, bounced around different houses, you know, totally like, we didn't live on the streets, but we were kicked out of our house and had to go like basically beg someone to help us find a place to stay. And just totally tons of, you know, single mom, all that. And it was during that time that, you know, I've always been a smart kid and all that. And I was like, you know, I got early exposure to Josh James and John Pastana and those guys with Omniture. And I happened to live in a neighborhood. We lived in an apartment that was like adjacent to a neighborhood with a bunch of nice houses. So I was the kid like biking up to these guys' houses on Sunday afternoons and being like, hey, can I just interview you for 30 minutes? And I was like 12-year-old, you know, doing this. And anyway, so I learned about software and SaaS and just this, the internet and, you know, all that. And
how old are you now?
I'm 29.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, and so learn about software, and that just like exploded for me. And I was just like, I'm obsessed. This is how I make sure that my future family isn't in this situation. And, you know, just completely despised everything about my upbringing, and just like had this like intense anger about it. And I really view it as a healthy thing. Like I viewed it as like this very motivating, like never want to experience this again. Don't want my mom to have to experience it. Don't want my future family, you know, all that. And so just dove headfirst into software, and just, I always say I went to Google University and just Googled stuff like crazy. And I had basically zero structure as like a kid and as a teenager. And so it was like, go to school if you want, don't go to school if you want. Mm-hmm. And so I just started, like, I started ordering books off Amazon. I had like all these, I still have them in there in my house, in my basement, but it's like Programming for Dummies and, you know, PHP for Dummies and SQL for Dummies. And I just would do that and Google stuff, and I'd sit home and I'd have like friends come over for lunch, like what, and I didn't go to school that day, and they'd like come into my dark room and I'd be like trying to learn code and like dark, you know, and very few people knew that I was trying to do that, but it was all like, you know, trying to elevate myself, elevate my family, all that. So long story short, kind of coming back to today, I got some great experience. You know, I got to work on projects with Young Living, with some other great, you know, local companies, and like Abbott Health was a huge project for me after I served a mission, and kind of as a programmer, as a front end developer, and I kind of got to work kind of a little bit in like the project lead side as well, and coordinating teams, and just learned about how executive teams and business teams, sales teams, like it is their biggest pain. Because they have no idea what happens in engineering. They don't get it. They don't understand it. Engineering tells them, gives them their best estimate. It's never correct, to be frank. It's always wrong. And I say that with a ton of experience and talking to a ton of teams single day, right? That's true. And anyway, so long story short, just became super passionate about this tug of war between business, you know, go to market and engineering, and just having been obsessed with software since I was, you know, a teenager. And just said, I've got to solve this. And finally, and I always wanted to build a product. Like, to be frank, I was like, I that was my dream since I was a teenager, to build a SaaS company. And so I finally just dove in. I was like, it's now or never. Like, I'm just going to do it. I had just left BYU, and I was like, I was consulting and just building projects for people, and just went for it. Just started it and failed.
A couple pivots.
Yes,
along
failed
the way.
Super hard initially, and failed a couple more times, and finally found a spot that works pretty well for people. And anyway, hopefully that made sense, but
Follow up question. I heard you say because of your upbringing, you wanted to make sure that you didn't have that experience again, whether it's you or family member, mom. Yeah. Do you feel like, I guess, how does that relate to the business? I relate to that a lot of just, I want money because I don't want to have utility shut off, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't, I feel like for me, that's allowed me, or anyways, I operate from a place of fear of losing something or not having, rather than kind of the opposite of that with mm-hmm. abundance, which is something that I'm really trying to change. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's affected you in that same way, working from a place of I need something, kind of that fear-based versus like, oh, the world has plenty, let me go get more and more and then give more and more.
100%.
That makes sense.
100%. I feel like I totally understand where you're coming from. For me, like I, throughout my career, whatever, just it feels like my life, right? My career and my life are the same thing to me, but it's like I feel like there's often had this feeling of like I am completely alone. It's me against the world. Like I am, you know, I gotta burn the world to succeed kind of thing. Like that level of like anger and intensity and all that, you know. And I would say the last like even just 18 months for me has been the time to say like there's a lot out there. There's people who want me to win. There's people who, you know, are rooting for me and everyone's not against me. There is abundance, yep. Right? I need to lean into that. And so, yes, I totally resonate with that a lot.
Do you feel like have some of that going on too? I mean, how?
All the time.
I feel like that's like where I work from typically is a mm-hmm. place of fear and a place of I'm going to work hard so I don't lose something.
I mean, how could you not when you don't have it yet? It's like it's so innate to feel like you have
well,
to
I see people with a lot less than what I have and they're just like so laxed.
Content, yeah.
And they're just like, whatever it goes, it's cool. And I'm just like, what do you mean it's cool? Like, no, you need way more money.
Yeah.
You need way more security. You need way more rental properties. You need way more residual. And they're just like, no.
But I think those are two different things. I think having operating in abundance, it's like seeing a homeless person. They're probably like, you see a homeless person ask another homeless person for money, they'll whip out a $20 bill and give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Where like you ask somebody on the side of the street for $20, they probably won't give it to you. So I think there's a difference of like, how do you get into that abundance mindset earlier when you don't have anything? That's a practice that you can start doing now.
It's interesting.
I think that's something we can all
do. I think that's what we always, it's all perspective, right? When do you want to start giving?
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, oh, I'm going to give when I'm super, well, how super rich? When you make six figures or a quarter million or when you're a millionaire or multimillionaire, when? Yeah.
Well, it's like they say, like money just amplifies everything about you, who you are. Yeah. And so if you're this, you know, person now, you're probably going to keep being that person. But actually, like I still take a little, not necessarily the opposite perspective. Like I think the abundance mindset is super necessary, but I still try to push myself to have this, I don't know, what do we call that mindset? Like that angry mindset, right? That fear of losing mindset. And the reason is I haven't found something personally as motivating as that.
Mm-hmm.
The abundance mindset is amazing. And having like an amazing, like, don't get me wrong, the vision I have for my family and setting them up and everything is crazy motivating. But at the end of the day, like I always go back to that Kobe Bryant quote. I can't quote it verbatim, but he talked about how he hated losing more than he had a desire to win.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like he wanted to make sure that you didn't win more than he wanted to beat you. You know what I mean? It was almost like that. Like, and I just see that.
So is that healthy?
I don't know. It's probably not.
Because I feel like I've operated like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting to the realization. I'm like, I don't think that's healthy.
But I think those are also two different things still, is like fear of losing is puts you in a mindset of like scarcity. Not wanting to lose gives you pride and encourages you to succeed. Mm-hmm. And I think those are two different things.
I think so too. I was just curious because a lot of what you're saying is resonating. I'm like, oh, I'm dealing with that right now of like, how do you switch that? And like gifting or being charitable as well. I grew up LDS and I'm not LDS, but I still want to give 10%, but it's hard when it's not structured like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, how do you do that? And when do you do it? And especially as you make more money, then you're like, oh, do I really want to give away?
And where do you give it?
And where do you give it? Yeah, how do you make sure it goes to a good cause and all that?
So how have you, like, I'm curious, how have you made that or tried to make that switch? Like, what have you done to facilitate the switch from the anger or whatever to the not wanting to lose to the abundance?
Realizing that I don't have control over shit.
That's super powerful.
I'm kind of just like the letting go. And a lot of it was, the journey really started with psychedelics. psychedelics, mushrooms kick my ass. And it's just like, you don't have a choice. You just go with it. But it teaches my mind and my body that I'm just one little tiny cog in a huge machine.
Yeah.
You know, like I can make a difference, but only to an extent. And it was, and as I realized that, I feel like I got a lot better at business because I can step out more and not try to be a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And then I can hire better people and I can let them run. I can delegate more. But a lot of it is just that, you know, if you can do something, if I can do something, it takes me an hour. And let's say, you know, you're on the team, you're an employee and it's going to take you 2 hours. It's like, I might as well just do it myself. Mm-hmm. To switching out from like, no, it's okay if they take 2 hours because it's saving an hour of my time and I can do a lot more with one of my hours than somebody else can do with two of their hours, basically.
Totally. Yeah. I love that idea of being able to give up control more and just saying, you know what?
Like it can't be perfect.
Trust. It's trust, right?
It's trust, yeah.
It's the hardest thing a founder can do, honestly. Oh, totally. Like, it's so uncomfortable. You do it really well. Like, I also think you force yourself to do it.
Oh, I 100% force myself.
So much moving in the business, but it is like every founder's dilemma is like allowing trust to happen.
Totally. Yeah, totally. That's been a massive struggle for me. Like, exactly what you just said. Like, I could do that. Like just watching someone struggle through something, it's like, okay, I'm just going to do it. Like, never mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating. Yeah.
But if you train them long enough, then it's like, finally my emails, I was just telling my people, I was like, I'm down to like an email or two an hour. Cause I have my assistant going through them and then reading them and marking what I need to read and then unsubscribing and blocking everything else. Not even unsubscribing. I just tell them block it. If it's a spam email, block, report spam. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like Expedia, like I don't want, you know,
yep.
Just because I don't want to see those emails.
Yeah.
But it took a while because she didn't do it right for quite a while. And then I have to screenshot every single email. Hey, this doesn't require my response. Hey, just because they copy on me, unless they're asking me for something, I don't want to see it. So it's definitely like time efficiency. You go down mm-hmm. as you train somebody and then it jumps back up. Like right now with my nephew that I recently hired, he just started last week. I'm like, freak, it's easier just to do these myself. But it's nice to have him there because I'm like, okay, add this contact in my phone, create the meeting, this or that. And it's nice to have somebody totally. There with me all the time, but it's definitely a struggle. What is kind of what's the big vision for, do you have, and you don't need to, don't want to put you on the spot, but it sounds like right now everything that you described and what's motivating you is financial success. Have you looked to find something apart from financial success and that motivation, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm happy to share. There's certain things I obviously won't share, but this is super actually intimate for me because I went through a period, and the only people that know this is like my wife and maybe some other like close people, but I went through a period like right before starting Cartograph and right after where I had this weird, like intense hate for money. And it was like this, like money is evil. Money is like everything bad comes from money. You know what I mean? Like greed.
The Bible quotes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like all that stuff.
And getting I was just through a needle and a camel and a whatever. What's that quote?
I don't know.
You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
No, you know more than me.
No, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to fit in an iron and
yeah,
a needle.
Yeah,
something
yeah.
Like that.
Okay. I remember that. Yeah. But yeah, it was just like, you know, I was just so sick of everything in life. Like, and it wasn't even like intense hate. Like maybe that's a little extreme, but it was just like, it seemed like everywhere you turn when you like kind of first come into your early 20s, it's just like everything's about money. And it was like, mm-hmm. I thought I was taught for the first 20 years of my life that like life's not about money and there's other things more important. And then all of a sudden
everything's
like everywhere you look. And frankly, that's true. Like it is true. Mm-hmm. But I think it's how you look at money. It's how you like, what is money? How do you define money? Because I think that's really it, right? Like for me, yes, it's financial, but it's not. Like I define money separately. And to me, I define money as peace. Like if I have, you know, enough money to cover kind of my goals and make sure my family's in a certain spot, then I'm at peace. And all of a sudden, like, I don't know, I really don't believe in the whole when I have this, I'll be happy type idea. Because I'm very happy right now, totally. Mm-hmm. You know, like my life could stay the same for the next 50 years and I'd be happy. But it's this peace idea where it's like, for me, it's like kind of, I said go back when I met those guys and, started learning about SaaS, and I was like, all right, go. I'm like, I'm ready to go. And I just started grinding. And I feel like, for me, I feel like I've been on my journey for 15 years, you know? Like, I tell people, like, they're like, how long have you been in your career? I was like, well, I started programming 15 years ago. So 15 years, and I'm 29, you know, like, you do the math. And, but for me, it's always been like, and I have a very clear vision in my mind, like, picture like exists, like I could have, like, you know, I could have one of these AIs go create it. Actually, I've done that before, but I'm like, this is what my life will look like, and and that's what I'm trying to get, that's where I'm trying to go. It's like, the only way to get that is have the money to be able to put that together, you know what I mean? And so, yes, like, but it's peace for me, like finding that peace for myself, for my family, for my loved ones, and that's really like, I don't care about anything but that, like, at all.
What changed your mindset around money? Because, like, that's not an easy transition to go from, like, I hate money to understand the utility and have peace with it. Like, there's a lot of people here probably struggling with the relationship with money, and you are on a hard extreme.
Totally. Yeah, it's a great question, and I don't know if I have the perfect answer. I think part of it is, like, at the end of the day, you have to keep living life, and you have to keep paying your bills, and you have to keep earning money, and, like, I think a lot of my story has just been like banging my head against the wall enough times to finally have a flip, you know, a switch flip and be like, okay, I guess I get that a little bit better and just keep banging. Like, none of it is like, oh, here's, you know, here's a handout or here's like, here's a gift dropped in your lap. Like, it's just been a lot of banging my head and been like, okay, like money is horrible for some people and in some situations, and it creates bad situations and, you know, in some, you know, scenarios, but in other areas it does amazing things. And I think it, for me, it was just like, I'm going to make sure it does amazing things, you know, and really being like, okay, if these are my goals, then it takes money to get there. So it's a tool, not a means, not an end. You know what I mean?
For me, a lot of it was like the worthiness of how much you make.
Really? Okay.
When I started making good money doing summer sales, it was like, I shouldn't be making this money. I'm only working 4 or 5 months. I don't have an education, but I'm making more than a doctor. Like, then what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, and then it was just hoard it.
And I had to spend anyway. So did you save a ton of money?
Yeah. I mean, I was making maybe like $250 a year in a summer.
As a young 20-year-old kid. Or whatever.
And I saved it all.
That's awesome.
Well, that's why I have money now. Because I hoarded it all.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Because we didn't spend that much money. And I mean, but it would, you know.
Yeah.
Looking back, I'm like, would I have changed it? Like, I could have definitely enjoyed it more by spending more money, but I also bought real estate and all of that's gone up a lot. And then I've been able to sell some homes and then buy dirty dough. And my experience, and I want to ask your difference, your definition between peace and happiness. So I had the, I'll be happier when I have XYZ, and it was X amount of dollars in the bank and X amount in real estate, passive income. And I sold it, my solar company, just under 2 years ago. And I had that. And then I realized that that was not the answer, because it's like, well, you can't, well, exactly what you said, you can't wait until XYZ happens to be happy. But I told myself, when I had money equals time, time equals vacation, vacation equals time with my family equals more happiness. And then I saw that that wasn't true. So then it's like, well, how do I just choose to be with my family right now and have it and get that happiness day to day? And I feel like I'm doing a lot better. So I'm interested in how, because you, it sounds like that's where you're at as well. Like, you're having the day-to-day happiness. What's the money, what's the peace that the money brings that's different from the day-to-day happiness?
Yeah, it's like, I have a very direct answer for you because I've thought a lot about it. For me, it's if, you know, heaven forbid I wasn't around anymore, nothing changes for everyone who I care about. And
that's cool.
And that's peace to me. You know, that's... It's like if I know they're set up, they're good, like basically they don't need me anymore, at least from a resource perspective.
I'll tell you how to get that. $400 a month, $10 million term life insurance.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's just $400 a month.
That's true.
And if I die.
That's true.
Do you have a term?
Yeah. I have $10
million. That's true. All right.
I mean, it was like $400.
Problem solved. Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
That's a good one if you want it sooner rather than later, if it's about death.
I need to get that one.
My strategy was go with the cheaper option, because I started with Index Universal Life Insurance, which is way more expensive, but the death benefit's always going up and you can invest the excess cash and if you set it up correctly and all of this. And then I'm like, well, I'm trusting my business skills. I'll have plenty of money, and I already have plenty of money, but I'll have a lot more money in 10 years, a lot more money in 20 and 30. So like just go with the cheapest term life. I think it was just a 20 year. Cause I'm like, well, in 20 years, if I don't die by 20 years,
you'll be fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. So
yeah, that's interesting.
Unsolicited piece of advice.
Yeah,
term life is pretty cheap.
That's really interesting. Well, and I guess in reality, it's like, if I can be alive and enjoy that, then that's ideal. Right. So maybe that's the only caveat, but that is interesting.
Just me. Don't tell your spouse. I'm kind of always scared. You know, I'm sleeping with one eye open with my wife. Yeah. I'm like, if she ever wants money, she's going to kill me. Move back to Mexico.
I could just see your wife doing that.
She's like, I'm out of here.
She doesn't know about it. No,
I'm out of here.
She does, I guess. But yeah.
Well, that's super cool. So question on joined fulfillment. And that's what I've determined kind of my life mission is, to find more joined fulfillment for myself and then as many people as possible. How do you feel as an entrepreneur you can leverage your leadership, your company, your position, your title, whatever, to give people more joined fulfillment in their day-to-day life?
Yeah, that's so interesting. It's not something I think about, to be honest. I am, like, I'm a pretty hard-nosed guy, and I'm like, I don't need to smile. Like, I'm okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm that's why I say peace and not happiness. And I don't think that's necessarily correct, right? I think, like, we all need joy. The purpose of life is joy.
It just depends how you define happiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you change the word happiness for well-being, then it's like, well, peace gives me more well-being than being happy in a certain state.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with you. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just not something I think about a ton, to be honest. And like, I do care about other people, like, deeply. I care about everyone I've ever worked with. Cartograph has gone through so many different iterations and pivots, and we've had to let people go, and other people have moved on, you know. And
what if you switched it to giving more people happiness, more people the same peace that you're after?
Yeah.
Does that resonate a little bit
Definitely. More? Definitely. Yeah, for sure. And for me, it's like, I do think about that. I'm like, how can we create as much wealth as possible for anyone that's giving Cartograph their time and attention day to day? For sure, I think about that. And I guess totally it's how I define it, right?
I just heard a definition, I think last night or maybe two nights ago on a podcast, of what is happiness. And this psychologist measured it in two ways. They said there's two sections of happiness. How happy are you in your life? And how happy are you of your life? So in your life is the day-to-day emotions that you feel, the dopamine hits. Mm-hmm. And then of your life is, what am I doing as a whole? Mm-hmm. So, and then it's the combination of those two.
Yeah.
Because if you're happy every day, I could be happy every single day just smoking weed, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's happy in your life.
No, I think there are a lot of people that are like depressed that are happy.
Maybe they're happy in their life, but when they look at their life and compare it to the peers, then they're not happy of their life. Mm-hmm. And that's depression, even though they have momentary, you know, spurts of happiness, even on a daily basis, or vice versa. It's like, I'm going to grind to be this outward success of like, everybody's proud of who I am and I'm proud of my life and happy of my life.
Yeah.
But the day to day, I'm not experiencing that.
That's
that
a good question I have for both of you. Like, on, this is a question that recently, so my uncle, very wealthy, like he managed like $5 billion private wealth money, and he has cancer now. And like, he is miserable. He can't get morphine to put him out of pain, has all the money in the world. He's what, 76, 77? Mm-hmm. And I look at that, I have like 40 years, 45 years until I'm there. I'm like, what am I not doing? Why am I not maximizing every single day to be so happy with my life when I'm there? Because money's not, like, obviously we all want to be wealthy.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to be in that.
Cancer.
It's not going to save me from that. Mm-hmm. So like, what do I need to do different? That hit me hard this weekend.
I'm going to send you this podcast I just listened to. One of their things was, you know, framing. So you have a negative experience that made you unhappy in the past, and then you can go reframe it and say, well, what did I learn from it? And then you're reframing that. Like, what tore me up is the reason why we have this space is I hired a freaking dumbass. He spent $300,000 with zero sales, signed this lease, signed the spot next door in my name without my approval.
Wow.
Bought all this freaking furniture. I mean, again, $300,000 in like 3 months.
Wow.
Nothing to show for it. I was beating myself up on it. I still do. But now reframing it and being like, okay, well, now I know to trust my intuition and to do better vetting during the hire process, to not give so much leeway, to not give up my power. And now I'm grateful because now I'm that $300,000 mistake has made me way more money already. And it's been 6 months, I think. And then the other thing is that, and I think you guys have probably have heard, you know, the premise of doing something like that. The other thing that the podcast said is she used the example on a podcast. So you preface what you're going into as, okay, how am I going to see the end result? How am I going to look back at this podcast?
Like your obituary.
So yes, but on a shorter term. So the example she used is like, when I look back at this podcast, I want to be like, wow, we tackled some hard questions in that. You know,
I like that.
So now during the podcast, she can say, oh, this is the part that I'm going to be proud of.
Yeah.
So it's like the hard, because we do look back and we are proud of those like gritty times are stressful. They're like, oh, I stayed up all night. I knocked a bajillion doors. I raised money at the last second, whatever. But if we preface that, be like, oh, what is my future self going to think about what's going to happen to me in 5 minutes? And then you look forward
to that
grind.
Totally. I actually, that's something that I have fallen back on in my life before. Like, so, you know, I served an LDS mission and it was the weirdest thing ever. But so I didn't grow up super like in the church or anything like that. But for me, it was like, anyway, long story short, I decided to go. And for whatever reason, in the beginning, I was like, okay, at the end, how do I want to feel? Mm-hmm. And it's reminding me, right? Yeah. And it's like, I want to feel like this. I want to feel like I did this thing. I accomplished that. I want to have grown this way. And so I just kind of like had that in me every day. And I literally would say it to myself every single morning. Like, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I'm trying to do. And I've totally taken that into my life and just been like, how do I recreate that? And actually it's been so, so difficult, like, you know, since then to do that in my career or otherwise, because everything about, you know, entrepreneurship and everything, it's so nebulous. Like I grew up in a pretty unstructured scenario, but this is way harder, way harder. You know what I mean? Like, this has tested me. I was like, oh, I'm freaking so tough. Like, you know, I could run through brick walls. And then I did this and it was like a little puppy whimpering. Like, this is so hard. And like, I've never gone through anything like this. And it's so much more difficult to like get a grasp and be like, well, what do I want? I don't know. Like, whatever it can become. And you know what I mean? It's just been way more difficult. And so I actually think that's such a good exercise for anybody to return to that and just say like, well, hey, let's go back to our North Star. Let's go to first principles. How do we want to feel at the end of this thing?
Yeah.
What's the point? You know what I mean?
And then how does that end result wanted? I mean, how do we want them to look back in this moment?
Yeah.
So you're going in the future and then looking back at the present moment to feel that gratefulness. Because again, what are we most proud of in our life? It's never the easy times.
Yeah.
It's the hard times. Mm-hmm. But in the hard times, we're complaining because it's freaking stressful. Mm-hmm. So if you'd be like, no, this is the story that I'm going to tell that I'm proud of in the future. So let me be grateful for it in the moment.
Yeah.
Again, I just learned this like last night or the night before. So it's not like I've practiced it.
That's a good.
But I'm sharing it because I liked it. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I love that.
Mental health struggles. And whatever that is, whether it's just being down on yourself or being super stressed or anxiety or depression, whatever that is, what affects you and how do you... What are the tools that you use to overcome that? Because everything you just said about entrepreneurism and that this is hard, I don't know what I want, and it's always pivoting, and even if I want this, it's not possible because of this, or how do you manage that?
Oh my gosh. For a long time, I didn't, you know, and that it got me into actually like really deep, not trouble, but this 4 years has been harder than anything I experienced previously because I don't think I was managing that. Mm-hmm. And my wife saw it firsthand, right? She'd like, there was a time, I kid you not, where like I'd wake up in the morning and like it would take everything for me to like get myself out of bed. And she'd be like, all right, what's going on today? And I'd be like, literally, like looking back and it's like crazy, but I'd be like, all right, we're probably going to fail next week. Like, we're done. And somehow we never would, you know what I mean? But it always just felt like...
I hate those.
Yeah. Like, I look back and I'm like, how did she deal with me? You know, like I was just so like down, but you know, somehow I'd just be like, all right, you know, get to work, go get on the computer, do your calls, like team call, throw on a smile, like, you know, get everybody pumped. And then knowing in the back of my mind, I'm like, believing it's like, we'll probably fail next week or next month or whatever, you know? And obviously, you know, you figure it out. But, for me, all that period, it just put me into this deep, like, I don't really believe in taboos, but I also don't like to say like depression and all these things, you know, like, but it definitely, like I was in this deep depression. I was just like, everything was negative. Nothing was going good. I'd wake up with like I would wake up every day with like, I'll just tell you guys, like I had this in like this 6 month period where I don't know what it was. It was so weird. And I'm super religious actually. And I was like, this is like, I'm being attacked from mm-hmm. like Satan. And what it was I'd wake up in the morning. It wouldn't be me waking myself up. It was a gunshot. It was like gunshot to my head. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I never saw a person shooting me. I never saw, this might be like kind of graphic content or whatever, but
we're here for it.
Yeah. It was really scary. And it took me a long time to tell my wife. And it was just like, I would just like, boom, like for like months. And it wasn't necessarily every day, but it was really often. It was just this weird, like, I hate myself. I hate what I'm doing. I hate that I've raised money from investors and I'm not going to give them, a return on their investment. I hate that I have hired people that I don't even know if I'm going to be able to pay for them. And in some cases we weren't able to, like they had to move on. And just so much like hate mm-hmm. for myself, loathing, you know? And it took a lot to get through that. It took a lot of just, and this is like, if I had to call my personality one thing, it would just be grit. Like I'm a really boring person. I'm just like all, you know, I'm just like, if I could get grittier, then I'll try to get grittier. And that's all I am. You know what I mean? Like, but it was just that. It was just like me just saying like, enough of this. Like, I'm sick of this. I'm stronger than this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to deal with this.
Did you have weakness. Like moments that you're doing specific self-talk that you're like, okay, in the morning, I'm going to do some self-talk or some during meditation? Or is it kind of just in general, every time those thoughts came up, you know, it was like self-talk in that moment. Like, was there any program, I guess,
that's interesting.
Behind that? Or was it just, hey, I'm just going to keep pushing through. If that makes sense.
Yeah. For me, like I said, I didn't manage it at all. So I didn't have like a program. And I think that's what's really cool about this podcast and what you guys do is kind of just trying to highlight some of these things, some of these like methodologies that we've been talking about and stuff. But for me, I didn't have anything. Like I didn't, you know, if anything, I had like kind of, you know, prayer and meditation and just return to like what I knew worked for me as a kid. Like the hardest times for me as a kid where it was nebulous and I didn't have a lot of leadership and stuff like that. It was like, you know, I was probably the most prideful person ever. So God was like, I got to humble you, you know, early, but
it's a hard lesson too.
Yeah. Yeah. But for me, that was like maybe the only thing I had to grasp. But, but in reality for me, it was just like, I always had that North Star, like that peace, that vision of like what I want for my family. And it was just like, I'll crawl on my hands and knees if that's, and in some days it was like, it was literally like, it felt like that's all I could do is crawl on my hands mm-hmm. and knees and go get the team pumped up and then like try to be productive beyond that and just keep going. And it you know, it was worth it for sure. But yeah,
that's cool. I've been doing meditation for a while and then I like breath work now more than meditation because it's easier for me to stay focused and dialed in. And one of the things that we were just talking about the Andrew Huberman
mm-hmm. quote. Yeah.
And he specifically says, if you wait till you're overly stressed to do a meditation or a breath work or a calming activity, it's too late. Like it has to be done every single day, even on the good days.
Yeah.
It has to be proactive. And that has changed a ton. Like, okay, I'm going to set 10 minutes aside every day, no matter what, whether it's in the morning or in the middle of the day or in the afternoon, but like no matter what, I need 10 minutes to myself and I'm just going to breathe. It's like long, slow breaths. And I'm like, and the science is it relaxes your nervous system, the fight or flight. So it's like, and your exhales have to be longer than your inhales. But knowing that, I'm like, okay, even if I'm not super stressed or if I am, like, it's working. It has to be working. And it's going to work today and it's going to make me better tomorrow. Because that's the other issue that I'm like, I don't want to do anything that's not like a permanent effect. You know, like I want to get better, not just in the moment. I want to make sure that what I'm doing now is going to make me better in the future.
Build your process. Yeah, totally.
And I get a little caught up on
such
that.
Such an entrepreneur.
You know, like happiness today, like
compounder efforts.
Yeah. No. It has to be maximum efficiency. Yeah.
I love that.
So, but that, I think it does give me maximum. If I do it every single day, even if I don't need it, it does make me better tomorrow, even though I don't know.
I really like that. And the breath work is something that I really actually like believe works, and it's not because I've done it a ton, but it's because I can point, like I have like jokes, like I have close friends, like roommates and stuff where it's like I had one roommate say to me, like, I remember it very vividly, but he was like, hey, why do you like breathe like a whale at night? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I was like a whale. And he's like, yeah, you sound like a whale when you're falling asleep. And I was like, do the sound. Like, I don't know what you're talking about at all. Uh-huh. And he like did this like big, deep breathing sound. And I was like kind of was like, oh yeah, like, I guess I kind of do that. And then seriously, like the next night I was like, I'm doing it right now. Like I finally like uh-huh. caught on that I was doing it. And so there's been these times in my life where I've like literally last week that I was doing this, I woke up at like 3:30. I got asked to speak last second. I would hate for these guys to feel bad about this, but I got asked to speak last second at a conference, product conference last week, and was, you know, doing a bunch of other stuff as well. And same thing happened. Like I just like morning of, I like still had some stuff to prep and, you know, was speaking to a bunch of people and just like this deep breathing. And now I've like, you know, now I'm aware that I do it, but it's really interesting because it just calms me down, like brings me back to earth. And, you know, and so I can see doing it proactively and just mm-hmm. making it this process, this habit that you have that your body expects and is a way to regulate. I could see it being super beneficial. It's something that I for sure would try. So that's really, it's really cool. It's really interesting.
Yeah, the physical is so tied to the mental. I mean, I went to the gym this morning. Usually I don't go on Mondays, but I was just not feeling good today.
And
I was
like, I know. A different headspace.
I know I will feel better if I go hit the gym. I did two exercises and I was out. Yeah. But I did feel way better. So looking at, you know, or the sleep, or I'll show you my sleep tracker. I literally got.
What do you use?
I use the Oura Ring and the Fitbit.
I've got the Oura Ring too, yeah.
So I do the double.
Okay.
Let me show off then.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it. I won't show you. I'll show you mine actually from last night because it's really bad.
Really bad? What's your HRV at?
I have no idea.
So my total sleep from last night was 9 hours and 19 minutes.
Wow.
Sleep. Time in bed was longer. And then the total sleep from before that was 10 hours and 34 minutes.
Yeah, you needed it.
That's awesome.
Though. It's like all the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was recovering.
Good for you. I seriously, last night, I'll show you when we're done. Mine was like probably 3 hours last night. Like just horrible. I was telling him it's because there's a full moon this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious.
Full moons are real things. Parasites, yeah. But also like full moons are real things.
Parasites, that's a whole nother.
I don't know what you guys talking about.
Oh, my gosh. So part of my recovery from like the depths for me, uh-huh. like about 2 years ago, 18 months ago. So my wife's like, she's graduated from culinary school. She's a certified physical trainer. I don't know all the terms, right? But uh-huh. she's done all these like nutrition certifications and all these other things. So along this time, she's just been like, hey, like, I don't know how to help your business, but here, I know this, like, this diet will help you, this food will help you, like, do these workouts. And she'll just, you know, she's really been supportive that way. But one of these things that, like, ended up helping me was she's like, maybe we try this. Like, she learned a lot about, like, parasite cleanses.
Okay, I've watched some of those videos and okay. they scare the shit out of me.
I'll show you some pictures out of this.
Oh, like, sweet.
Maybe. if you have a weak stomach, then you better not look at them. But
we're going to start a cleanse.
Have I showed you the pictures?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm in. If you're starting another one, I'm in.
Okay, let's do it. Yeah, my wife's like ordering it right now, so we can tell.
Those are the things I'm such a big believer of. Like, you get your body right and your mind is right, totally. And then your business is right. But it has to be in that order.
I love that. Yeah, that's interesting. Most of
the stuff comes from our gut too.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So my journey went exactly like that. It was like I was still in the depths, but she was just like, "Hey, do this parasite cleanse." Like uh-huh. she had just done it. She's like, "It worked good for me," so I do it and. Like, not to be too graphic, but like the stuff I was seeing in the toilet was like,
oh, dude,
otherworldly.
It's grossing me out because I probably have that in me.
It was like aliens. It was insane. And so
what was the cleanse? Let's get to the cleanse before
yes.
we wrap up.
Yes.
So
yes.
Listeners, we have the last question too.
We will. Let's get into the cleanse. Right. What's the actual cleanse though?
Yeah. So
people want to follow it.
Oh shoot. It's I think it's Life Extensions. I can send you a link after there's a way to like
coordinate that. Yeah, we can throw it in the.
But so there's two cleanses that like I'm thinking about doing right now.
What's the one that you did?
The ones that I did is this one by a company. I think it's Life Extensions. It might be somebody else, but it's really simple regimen. So they have like, it's like a pill that has like charcoal and a bunch of other stuff in it. And then there's four total pills and you take basically 16 pills a day. So you take four pills right when you wake up, four pills with breakfast, four pills with dinner, four pills at night.
Okay.
And you start to see results like within, I would say, 3 days. When I first did the cleanse.
And my results, you're pooping out parasites.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like worms.
Give me some of these pills, man.
It's crazy, yeah. So the first time I did a cleanse, though, so when they start to die, they release all their toxins.
Uh-huh.
And
I've heard that.
And the first time I did the cleanse, I almost took myself to the emergency because I thought I was having like a brain aneurysm. Like my brain, like I'd never had a headache. It was super sharp and acute. All of a sudden, woke up at like 2 a.m., just felt this. I was like getting ready to wake my wife up because I was freaked out. And all of a sudden it started to go away. And then I just had to hit the bathroom. And I was like, what is happening? And anyway, long story short, from there, just my mood, my just energy.
But I mean, we're 16 pills a day. There was nothing else you had to.
Mm-mm, no. And they say like, don't eat processed sugar during it, lighter on the meat. I didn't do any of that. And even the last time, I just did a parasite cleanse to start this year off. I'm starting another one because I only did half of it that time.
How long do you go for?
Most say to go 8 weeks. And there's a woman that we go see, and she does like foot zoning and stuff like that. And I don't know if you're into that at all, but that's really cool.
I'm not familiar, but I mean, I know what it is, but I
highly recommend that. So she does all kinds of, and she does like energy kind of work and you know, stuff like that, but spiritual work. And, she has like an even more intense protocol. She was just, the last time I was with her, she was telling me about a woman that did her regimen for a parasite cleanse. And she asked her to poop into a bucket. Maybe this isn't too intense, but poop into a bucket. And she said she had 20 plus foot parasites coming out of her. And that's the craziest thing. Like,
that's crazy.
If there's anything that I like want. Well,
that's why I did that combo is because supposedly that gets rid of parasites. They burn your skin. Uh-oh. They put frog venom on you and it makes you throw up.
That's not as intense as.
Wow.
But no, and it didn't work. There's no parasites.
Full moon parasites and their toxins are released. So people have
and they hatch too. Okay. So they reproduce and then they hatch at the full moon.
That's where I forgot why we got on this.
Yeah.
Okay, last question before the last question.
All right.
How much does it cost? How much was that regimen?
I think it's about $150 for a month. So
$300 is what you should be planning on doing. 16 pills a day, 4-4-4. I mean, that's super easy. Uh-huh. If there's a 5% chance even that it works.
Those things living inside of
me. Yeah. Freaking well, that's the spend the money, 90%, get it done.
Yeah, I agree. 90% of Americans have it. Like you go down the rabbit hole. There's a bunch of Instagram accounts.
Well,
like,
obviously, I've gone down the rabbit hole. It's been a few years though, and I never freaking did anything about it.
How often should you be doing it? Like once a year?
Once a year. Yeah. I think that's kind of what they say. Crazy. If it was me, I'd be like on it all the time because I'm the same way. I'm like, get it. But what I've learned is that there's really no way like to avoid them. Like they're in our meat. They're in everything. They're in. If you eat sushi ever, you have parasites. If you've eaten
steak, have dogs, right?
Yeah. Like, if you have dogs, if you eat steak that's not cooked well done.
I eat smoked salmon every morning.
I eat steak like as raw as possible. And I'm like, I know I'm getting more parasites, but like.
But you'll cleanse them later.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm like, it's all good, but it's life changing. And that idea, like you said about how start with the physical, mental, and then, you know, translates to other things. That is exactly what happened to me.
I think we have these issues with the business, whether, you know, lack of capitalization, not a great team, maybe we're not in the right market or whatever. And where it's like, well, let's fix that. But how the hell do you fix that if you can't even think clearly? Mm-hmm. And how can you think clearly if you're not sleeping or if you have parasites or you're not working out or your glucose levels are too high or you don't have testosterone or whatever, your body's not producing or it's producing too much insulin. So I'm a big, once I started focusing on that, I felt like everything else just goes better anyways.
Okay, last question.
Talking too much.
How do you want to be remembered?
Oh, that's a great question. I actually don't want to be remembered. I tried to like come up with a good answer for you guys, but that's like a big thing of mine. Like I have always just been like, if I could do business and have not a single person know my name, I would. Like, that'd be amazing. And here I am, like, on a podcast, right? But it's a necessary evil. It's part of it. I'm just, like, my favorite, like, one of my favorite personal beliefs. It used to be pinned on my Twitter profile, but one of my favorite personal beliefs is that the greatest security is obscurity. And security is, like that's what peace is. You know, it's security. It's everything's safe. Nothing can touch what matters to me. And obscurity, I think, is the best way to accomplish that. Now, unfortunately, in business, this is the world we live in, right? And yeah.
Why? I'm not following it. Why is obscurity the best way to accomplish peace?
If the world or, and I guess I should caveat, I'm not saying it's necessarily accurate. It's just.
I'm not saying it's not either. It's just what I run asking.
Yeah. Yep. If, I don't know, if evil or bad things or whatever don't even know about you, they can't affect you. You know what I mean? And I guess that's a hard translation, but you know, the world is a crazy place and the less you can kind of put yourself into the world and like, if I could, you know,
be more self-focused rather than
Yeah, just focus on my family. Mm-hmm. If I could stay completely off the internet like that, and that's truly been my journey. It's like I love the internet and I love technology, but the longer I've been in it, the more I'm like, it's awesome, and the things that it enables is awesome, but us as humans, we probably thrive without it. We've got to find a way, frankly, and this is a whole nother podcast, but we've got to find a way to evolve with it better, because we're not doing a good job right now.
I agree.
And just horrible, frankly, like society at large.
Wait until AI takes over.
Yeah.
So for you to not be remembered and saying, I don't want people to remember me, that would be evidence of you living not so much in the world and focusing more on yourself and your family.
Yeah. I guess like when you ask that question, it's like society. Like I would love it if society forgot me today. You know what I mean? Or the second after I kind of achieve my goals. I don't know if you know Alex Hormozy. He's kind of a funny guy, but he's got some interesting stuff. But he kind of talks about that. He's like, the Queen of England died, and within 6 months,
I saw that.
Not a single person was talking about her. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's like,
do you, because nobody's going to
remember you. Who cares? Yeah, that's true, right? Like, who cares about being remembered? Who cares about your impact on the world? Like, do you achieve your goals, live your life for you and for those you love, and who cares about the rest of it? So that's my answer. I know it's not perfect, but.
No, I love it. Yeah. It's different.
We like it. Cool. Thank you, Bentley.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks for coming on the podcast.